The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Art of Transformation with your host, Mara Evenstar. Transforming our world can seem to be an overwhelming task. However, there are universal patterns of change that can be worked with personally or collectively. Join us as we explore conscious transformation. Now, here is your host, Mara Evenstar.
Hello, everyone. I am Mara Evenstar, and I welcome you to the Art of Transformation. Each week, we'll be looking at transformation from a different perspective, and hopefully, we'll deepen our understanding of how transformation works and how we can work with it and become active participants in the process of change. On today's show, we'll be talking about navigating the big ones. I'd like to introduce our guest, Callan Liu. Cal is a co-founder and the Chief Intention Officer, I love that title, of Intentional Legacies. Cal is an experienced, authentic, and creative participant in the journey of life. He's a certified celebrant through the Insight Institute, an ordained non-denominational minister, a certified personal legacy coach, and a business legacy coach. Based on his own experiences with major life transitions, he's passionate about helping others find peace, balance, and personal growth while navigating life's major transitions. Cal's an Ohio native, and he graduated from the University of Toledo and has spent more than 20 years in technical sales and marketing before acting on the strong urge to do something closer to the heart by founding Intentional Legacies. Cal's also a friend of mine, and recently we've been collaborating along with our respective organizations to develop rites of passage programs to support our community. So welcome, Cal.
Hi, Mara. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. We talk about this subject a lot, and I'm really happy to bring it here onto the show and have this conversation with a wider audience and with our listeners. And today we wanted to talk about the art of transformation from an intentional point of view, really doing transformation with intention. And big life transitions, they're an inherent part of our life cycle. And when we talk about these big ones, these big life transitions, from your point of view, what are we talking about here?
Mara, I think what we're talking about is the really big hitters in life. Change in life is a constant, but some things are more momentous than others. I'm thinking things like, graduating from school and starting a new life phase. I'm thinking things like, a military family going through some adjustments when one of the members is deployed overseas. Talking about getting married or having your first kid or maybe leaving a job to start your own business. Those are some examples, and there's many more, like dealing with a critical health diagnosis. Like getting divorced or maybe even dealing with the loss of a loved one. So those are big hitters, and these are the ones that can come along and really knock you for a loop. And Mara, one of the things that I see a lot is that they tend to come in waves where you get hit by more than one at a time. You know what I mean?
Yes. They do like to come in clusters, don't they?
Yes, they do. And I've through some of the workshops that we run at the Life Transition Zone, some people choose to share their stories in a fair amount of detail. And, some of the things I hear pretty consistently is, somebody might be dealt a critical diagnosis. They find out they have cancer, for example, and they're facing a divorce. And maybe they go through a job change and they have to move all at once. And they have to deal with all of this stuff while they're still trying to live their daily lives of going to work and paying the bills and raising their kids. So these things are pretty big challenges.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, what are you seeing are some of the challenges that are involved with these big transitions? On what levels are we dealing with this?
These actually are the kind of things that can actually rock you down to your core. So there's some. I think there's probably four or five big challenges that we can point out. One of the big challenges is that we really aren't taught how to deal with this stuff.
Yeah.
So where in school do they prepare you to, you know, to receive the news that, you know, you have cancer, or maybe to prepare you for dealing with a divorce? And because we're not prepared for it by anybody else, a lot of the times we're forced to just try to figure it out all by ourselves. And when we do that, it makes us feel like we're isolated, and sometimes we feel lonely and kind of scared.
Yeah, I think even like in the schools, one of the big changes that we all face is puberty, right? If we make it, if we're lucky enough to make it that far, and I think that, you know, the schools, they try to teach, how to navigate puberty and all the changes that are being made there. But I think even then, kids aren't prepared for those kind of changes.
Yeah, I think you're right. I do think we try. And, you know, our society does try in some cases, but then there's cases where we just don't really get any guidance at all, too. So I think that's one of the big challenges, Mara. I think another one is, there's been kind of a long and gradual breakdown of many of our relationships with some of the traditional institutions that have helped us through this stuff in the past. And what I mean by that is, you know, our parents and our grandparents might have faced some of this stuff. And when they did, they might go turn to the diocese priest and, you know, get some counseling from somebody there, somebody in the church as an example. But what tends to happen, and the statistics show, that many of us have either consciously or unconsciously disconnected from those organizations and institutions. So that net no longer really exists for us to fall back on sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think kind of that breakdown of institutional relationship is another one. But there's kind of related to that then is there isn't really a good place for us to turn to for help when we face the really, really big challenges in life, the big transitions. And a lot of us are lucky enough to have close family members and close friends to turn to when things get pretty tough. But when the really big ones hit, sometimes those people, as much as they love you and as much as they want to help you, just aren't prepared to really help you through the really toughest of times.
Yeah, and often they're going through their own version of it, because when we go through the big transitions, it also affects those that are really close to us.
Yeah. Yeah, so they end up with kind of a vested interest in the way things turn out for you as well, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But I think it's a normal part of the human process that we, you know, we see things through our own lenses, and our own lenses are shaped by our own experiences and by our own biases. And so when maybe one of your friends or family members is telling you about the problem, that, you know, the really big transition they're facing, you can't help but to be a little colored by your own experiences. And that makes it hard sometimes to understand what they're dealing with, or to really fully empathize with what the choices are that they may have to make, mm-hmm. to walk the path that their heart tells them they need to.
And are there any other challenges that you see around this as far as the big ones?
Yeah. I think there's one more that I think is worth pointing out, Mara, and it's kind of a fundamental one. Is what I hear on a surprisingly regular basis in working with my clients is that when these big transitions hit and they rock us to our core, sometimes we find that our core isn't nearly as well defined as we think it is.
Mm.
Meaning, you know, when faced, you know, somebody whose life was going along just peachy, and suddenly they find out that they're going to be divorced. You know, it's like, well, what happened? What did I do wrong? And then they start going back and trying to figure out exactly who they are in the process, and it may not be as clear as they thought. So what tends to happen is, you know, we move through our childhood and into our adolescence and then into adulthood, and our values and our characters are in many cases prescribed to us by a collection of outside sources. And when it's a normal thing that your family and your school and your friends and maybe your church, they give you a series of expectations of who you're supposed to be and how you're supposed to live. And a lot of times we take all that on without really taking the time to stop and internalize what is really at our own core and who are we really, as opposed to who we're being told to be.
Right. And with transformation especially, so you can go through transitions and a lot of change and things are changing. But when you're talking about actual transformation, when you come out the other side, that means you are literally something different, right?
Right.
And you have to go through that definition process all over again as well.
Yeah.
So as you're transitioning, you're trying to figure out who you are, and
right.
you come out the other side transformed, and it's the process all over again.
Mm-hmm.
Who am I now? Now that I am divorced, or now that I am, you know, now that I'm a teenager, now that I am married. Who am I in this new space?
Yeah. And I think as we go through those things, right, we, you know, it's natural for us to change as we go. We're supposed to evolve as people. So as, you know, as we get exposed to new things and as new parts of our own character are exposed, then, you know, we evolve with that. But the really important thing is that at some point in our lives, we take some time to do the inside work, to find out who it is we really want to be. And then as we move forward in life, if once that's been defined, then we can grow and evolve and still be the same person and just let different facets of our character come through.
Yeah. Yeah. That is so true. Well, Ronald Grimes wrote a great book called Deeply Into the Bone, and it talks about kind of reinventing what he calls rites of passages.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, not every passage is a rite of passage, right? So some of these
right.
changes are not actual rites of passages.
Mm-hmm.
We undergo passages, but we enact rites. So
right.
from your perspective and experience and your research, what is a rite of passage?
I think, like you said, like Ronald Grimes said, right, passages happen to us all the time. Some of them are big and some of them are not as big. A rite of passage to me is it's a conscious process. And it's a process that is designed to help a person effectively make a transition from one stage or phase in life to another. And it's consciously set up in such a way that it involves preparation. Right, so there's some planning up front as far as exactly what the person's going to experience, and then there's some growth-oriented action steps along the way during the process that help to, you know, help that person to evolve and to, you know, to move from one place into another. And there's often a testing process, right, where you basically you demonstrate that you've been able to achieve what you need to achieve to be ready for the next phase. And then there is a lot of times a ceremony at the end that really marks the passage to that next level of development. And it's an opportunity to celebrate, you know, the accomplishment and let that person move forward. So there's, you and I have talked about a lot of this stuff, and there's so many really good books about it. But there's one in his book, Transitions, Making Sense of Life's Changes. William Bridges does a good job of describing the anatomy of a transition.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about us having three parts. Right, so there's an ending. Something, some role or some phase of your life is coming to an end. And then as you're dealing with an ending, you move into what's sometimes called the neutral zone. And the neutral zone is when you're in that in-between space, right? And you're not really in one place or another. You're kind of trying to redefine and make new sense of stuff from a different perspective. And then you move through that into a new beginning, which is the third phase, and where you actually would have the celebration or the ceremony marking your passage.
Yeah, and it's that in-between zone that I think is the hardest for most of us, because we really like to know where we're going. We want to know what's going on. We want to know what the next thing looks like. And being in that in-between is incredibly uncomfortable.
Yeah, it is. We live in a society where we're supposed to have all the answers, right?
Right,
uncertainty
right.
is really scary. So there's cultures all around the world. You know, there's some older cultures and there's modern cultures around the world that have effectively used rites of passage as a way to help their, you know, to help move people from one place to another. And, you know, there's some really good examples we can maybe call out and talk about specifically how you help a child or an adolescent make the transition into becoming a young adult. So, you know, we've talked about a few, but, you know, quinceañera in the Latin America communities is a great example, right? Where a 15-year-old girl is prepared, you know, she learns to let go of her role as a girl, and now she's becoming a young woman. The Jewish community also does a good job, right, through the bar mitzvah and bat mitzvah process. And I think you've got some experience with the Pathways Foundation and Vision Quests in the Native American communities, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yes. I mean, as far as doing research and really understanding what some of the traditional cultures have been doing, as well as what's kind of being created and invented now. And it has also, a lot of my research has fallen into the area of understanding the mythic structures of a culture. Mm-hmm. And so moving in and understanding that the myths are our stories that tell us our values or tell us the story of our people or tell us the culture. And rites of passage, you know, are not just for individuals to help them kind of, you know, traverse these and navigate these big changes, but they're also deeply embedded in community. And that's one thing about rites of passage that I think many people don't understand, is that it creates a tie between the individual and the community, and creating this sense of belonging, so that the community also recognizes where you are, you know, in this process. Like, mm-hmm. Oh, we now see you as an adult. You have had your coming of age, and we believe that you are an adult now. So now we start treating you differently, You know, these ties to the community are incredibly important, and rites of passage can be done alone, right? As you're moving, if you're committing to yourself and moving through a process, it can be very powerful and done alone. Mm-hmm. But they are also very powerful ties to your community and your society at large. It's an opportunity, actually, to have the support that often feels like it's missing. As we go through these really big life changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And if you start to go off on the path of creating your own rite of passage, right? So your own personalized coming of age ceremony for maybe your children, it's great. But it also becomes very important then is to define a community within which that transition happens for that in that particular case.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think in our modern society, a little bit of this, you know, the nuclear family. Which can be embedded in many different communities. Sometimes it's, you know, difficult to find in which direction are we going to look for support? In which direction are we going to, you know, embed ourselves and embed this particular process in a larger community? And even going through some of the transitions like you were speaking of, like a cancer diagnosis, right? Even just the decision of whether or not that is made known to a larger community outside of the family. And sometimes the support systems are just within the institutions, like the healthcare system, that sort mm-hmm. of thing. So it's really, you know, trying to take a look around and see, where the connections are and where the support can come from. And often it's in places that we weren't looking before.
You bet.
Yeah.
And as you know, we talk about this, Mara, it would be interesting to have a poll of everybody who listens to this show and how many people have been through a formalized rite of passage or a coming of age ceremony, something like that. And what I tend to find is that the numbers are really low in our society.
Yeah, they are. Wow. Well, that's a great thought, Cal. And everyone will be given the email address to send in. And we're going to go to break now. And when we return, Cal will gift us with the story of how he came to do the work of helping people transition and transform. And he'll tell us about the ways in which he and his organization do that. Also, later in the show, we will discuss more deeply the relevance of navigating these transitions intentionally and why we need to be doing this now in our society. So we will see you when you return.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Domestic violence and abuse are experienced by both men and women in everyday life. If you have experienced abuse, know that you're not alone on your journey. Listen for Abuse, Survival Stories presents I Reclaim My Voice with co-hosts Reese Zigazaga and Denise Watkus. We'll speak with survivors who have emerged safe and victorious and who are passionate about helping others reclaim their voices. Tune in every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
think of anybody who does not want a better life and to be a better person? Think about that for a second. Almost everyone wants to be better, but how does one go about doing that? One thing that is making people better every week is tuning in to the Self-Improvement Show with Dr. Irene Conlon. All real change comes from within, but many of us don't know where to find the information or guidance we need to make the changes that bring about the improvement. Most of us don't know how to work within. Listen Thursdays at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on Voice America Empowerment.
Are you ready for a health, life, and empowerment show in one? Then be sure to listen every week for Living Well with Ann Beal. Ann takes her long-running TV show to the Internet talk radio airwaves with guest experts and insight designed to help you live a healthy and successful life. By hearing from the experts and those who have found success, our goal is that you too will be motivated to do the same. Living Well with Ann Beal can be heard every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 7 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rmi.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
So welcome back, everyone. Today we're talking with Callan Liu of Intentional Legacies about navigating life's transitions through rites of passages. And so, Cal, we've been talking a little bit about rites of passages, what they are, and big life transitions. And you actually started a business around personal transformation.
Mm-hmm.
So how did you get there? And what big life transitions did you experience? How did they affect you? What caused you to do this?
Oh, man, I hit some of the biggies, of course. I think most of us do at some point. What happened for me is, you know, throughout my early life, and I went through a process much like what we described in the earlier segment. And so I'd gone through my childhood and my young adult life, and I was loved. And I had a great upbringing. And I had a nuclear family, my mom and my dad and my siblings. We were actually really close. But what happened is I went through life kind of in autopilot is the way I look at it. You know, I was supposed to be, you know, this way. I was supposed to act this way. I was, you know, supposed to end up looking like this when I got to be an adult. And that's just all stuff that had been built up, layers that had been placed on me over the years through, you know, both from family and from friends and from school and from church. So I'd been raised Catholic for my entire younger life. And so what happened is, you know, I went through my young adult life and I was really good at it. I was, you know, I had a great job. Or a career, I'd gotten married to a beautiful young woman. We had a child together. I had the great house. I had a couple dogs. You know, everything was just going perfect. And what I found was at some point, and the point was right around 1997. I looked in the mirror and realized I was completely empty. I was hollow, and it just didn't make sense to me, Mara, because I had everything. Everything was great. Why did I not feel happy? So what happened is I got my wake-up call in 1997, and I had to do some real soul-searching. I looked in the mirror, and the person that was in the mirror isn't the person that I really wanted to see looking back at me. It's kind of what everybody else thought I was supposed to be. And so then I started doing some hard work. I started doing some, you know, a lot of soul-searching. There's, you know, reading as much as I could about different religions because I had come from a religious background. I started, you know, having talks with my wife at the time of, you know, how, you know, things just didn't feel right, and I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. And so as I did all the soul searching, and I did all the reading, and, you know, I had as many conversations as I could get myself into with people who you know, I thought would listen, I realized I was in the wrong place. And I went through a period of about a year where I was just in a place of limbo. It was probably the hardest part of the whole process, not knowing what I was supposed to do from there. And so I experienced what we talked about earlier. I didn't really know where to turn. I would tell my family and friends what I was feeling, and they would think there was something wrong with me. You've got everything. Why aren't you happy?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, I absolutely know what you mean. That resonates a lot with a lot of my earlier story too. In that, you know, I did what was expected of me, right? I grew up, I got married. I came from a place where going to college wasn't really expected. As a matter of fact, no one in high school counselor or teachers really talked to me about going to college. And so the thing to do was to, you know, get married and get a job. And I did those things and I ended up doing well with those things. There was a point when I just woke up and said, you know, this is not the life I'm supposed to be living. Absolutely. There's that sense of emptiness.
Yeah. Yeah. And so once you find yourself in that spot, the question is, what do you do next? Mm-hmm. And it's not like there's a class you can enroll in to kind of figure out what to do with your life. At least there wasn't then. There might be now. But so this was all some of the backdrop work. This is all some of my own personal transformation work that led me to a place where I would start this business. But before I got there, I made some decisions back in 1998 that really set my life off on a different path. And once it was a very hard thing to do, given my Catholic background and being the fact that I actually loved my wife and I loved my daughter, but I couldn't find happiness or fulfillment in the life we had built together. I did make the decision to get a divorce, and by making that decision, I triggered a whole series of events that ended up being a tidal wave of transformation or tidal wave of change for me at the time. Because in a period of about 4 months, I went through a divorce. My son was born, and I quit a job, and I started a new job. And I sold a house, and I bought a house, and I lost someone who was very close to me. And, when we talk about tidal waves of change, that, at the time I felt like I was all by myself. I thought that I was, I felt isolated, and I felt alone. But with the benefit of looking at it in the rearview mirror, I come to realize that a lot of us go through this process at some point in our lives. Just some are a little bit more extreme than others.
Right. And were you feeling at that time like the bottom had dropped out, or were you kind of looking toward, how to find a center? What was your experience like during?
Yeah, bottom dropping out is one way to say it. And another way is I like to think that I felt completely untethered. And I wasn't really connected to anything or anyone anymore, because all those things that were supposed to be important to me were now kind of dissolving. They were coming apart, and I didn't have a clear set of values. I didn't I knew what I was supposed to be, right? I had all the things that had been prescribed to me at the young age, but as I looked in the mirror and I was forced with some really difficult decisions, and I tried to apply those values, I found that they didn't really fit. And they didn't lead me to answers that I found fulfilling. So I had to go off on a quest to redefine what my own values and what my own character were going to be. Hmm. So, again, as much reading as I could do, and I got books on like the Book of Virtue. it's a really old book, but it talks about what values are and what virtues are, and it kind of gives you a definition for what they are. And on the same time, I read the Book of Vice, right? These aren't supposed to be the good values, but they are values. And so I took as many different angles at this as I could, and I ended up kind of creating something that we use even today in some of my workshops. It's what I call a core values inventory. And so I took myself through the process of defining what my core values are. And then you have to do the work of aligning your actions in your life so that they're in alignment with your core values.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the core step that happened for me to start coming out of that place of the in-between and start moving toward the new. Was I at that time made a really conscious decision, because what I found was that my unhappiness came from the fact of the decisions that I had made, where mm-hmm. I ended up, were not things that were decisions along my path, but those of expectation. And so what I really decided to consciously do was, okay, moving forward, each big decision that I make, like where I work, how I work, who I'm with, all of these things, I wanted to do really consciously. And I wanted to say, okay, is this decision to go do X, Y, or Z moving me closer to my authentic self and my life path, or is it moving me farther away? And making that part of my practice in decision making was really critical, I think, for moving me out of that space.
Absolutely. And the key word, one of the key words you just used was authenticity, right? How do you, how do you live in a way that you're being authentic to yourself? And until you've done your work, it's hard to know how to be authentic.
Yes. Well, you don't even know what authentic is.
Right.
And you can be an authentic jerk too.
Yes, you can.
So which authentic part of myself do I actually want to cultivate?
Right. How to be authentically the me I want to be, right?
That's right. The ideal self.
We go through all these things, Mara, and there were three big lessons that came out of it for me, and that's what kind of propelled me to move forward with this business. One is, as we said, I didn't know who I was. And it's hard to be happy. It's hard to be authentic when you don't know who you are. And the second thing I learned is I didn't know where to go for help. I looked around, and I actually went to therapy. I turned to the church. I looked everywhere, and I didn't feel at all satisfied that I was getting the kind of help I wanted and needed. And the third part, which is really important, is we're all a lot stronger than we think we are. Because, we might encounter one major transition, and it might feel like your world is falling apart. But then when you're thrown five or six or seven of them all at once, we have a reserve of strength inside of us that we're not even aware of, and we can handle a lot more than we know, and we just don't ever find out until we're forced to put that into action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what I did is I went on with my life. There was probably another decade in there where I had my wake up call. I went through these changes and I went about trying to live my life in a different way. And I was still working at corporate America at the time. I was working in the high tech industry for like you said earlier, for many years. But it also began to feel really empty. And I was going to work every day. I was doing a good job. I was getting promotions, and I was again doing what I thought I was supposed to do, and it didn't feel like there was a real point to it. So I'd gotten far enough along in the company that I was working for at the time, where I'd gotten far enough up the management chain where I got really close to the decision-making at the highest levels. And what I observed was something that really bothered me. The C-level suite of this really major corporation, the decisions weren't being made out of what's best for the people. In fact, sometimes they weren't being made for what's best for the organization. Some of the actions and decisions were being, were based in greed or in ego, and it was kind of bothered me.
Yeah.
And I know, you work in the tech industry as well. I think you've probably exposed to some of that too.
Yes, I've had my experience in corporate America.
Yeah. So I cruised along for another decade or so, and I started thinking about what else I would like to do. And as it happened, in about 2010, an assignment that I was working on for a large company started to wrap up, and it became clear that I was going to have a transition of some sort. I could either grab another corporate job, or I could do something different. And I decided that was the time to start my own business and do something that was much, much closer to the heart than it was to the wallet.
Right.
And as I sat there and tried to imagine what I might possibly do, to make a difference in the world and to bring in enough money to continue to live a reasonable life, a quality of life, I decided that I wanted to offer a safe harbor for people who are going through transition, because I came to realize that we're not alone. There's a lot of us going through this, and it could be a much better world to live in if there's a better way to handle the big changes that come to us. And that's what Intentional Legacies is. It's a safe harbor to turn to in times of change.
Wow, that's really amazing and interesting. And you're dealing with all different kinds of transitions in Intentional Legacies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we have there's actually three different sub businesses within Intentional Legacies, and they're all designed to help and support people in different parts of their life. So I have something I call personal legacy planning, is that, you know, to help you live and to eventually pass on in such a way that, you know, your legacy is cemented and the things that you want to have happen in your life and for the loved ones that do happen after you're no longer there. I have a business legacy planning service where we help people to create businesses to fulfill their personal missions, you know, their personal visions through their own businesses, and to make sure that, you know, their intentions are carried through while they're there and after they're no longer there as well. And then the life transition zone, which is, I think, really squarely in the heart of what you and I are talking about, Mara, is it's a part of the business that's intended to help people navigate the big life changes and come through and, you know, feel like they've got their feet on the ground and they're happy and healthy and whole. So through the life transition zone, you know, we offer workshops. We offer, you know, we've done some seminars, and we offer specific customized ceremonies to help people deal with, all of the really big ones. Would you like some examples?
Give us a couple. And then also, in the last few minutes, tell us about the Rising Phoenix Awards.
Sure. So I got ordained to do weddings. So I've done everything from a very Christian traditional wedding all the way through a pirate wedding where the entire wedding party was pirates. And the point is, right, do it your way.
Yeah, that's
celebrate
a hoot.
Life your way. If you're a pirate, then be a pirate. We'll help you. I got certified as a celebrant to deliver very personal funeral ceremonies. And, you know, the coming of age ceremony is one example of a rite of passage that I think is really, really important in our community, and where I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But there are two things that I did in the business. One is I opened something called the Village Wisdom Portal, where we're collecting stories. So 5 to 10 minute stories of people who have been through the big changes. And we make them available on the web free of charge for people to experience or benefit from other people's experiences. And the Rising Phoenix Awards, we did the second annual this year. It's an award program where we recognize and celebrate people who have been through, not only been through the really big life changes and come out the other side, but there was a demonstrable transformation that happened to them as a part of the process, and then they came around and did something good for the community as a result of all that transitional energy.
That's really amazing. I mean, I love that you are doing that with the community outreach, and getting people's stories in the portal, because I do agree that's such an important thing for us to share with one another what we're going through and share our stories and, not have this feeling of isolation any longer and know that there are people that we can reach out to, that will have resonance with what we've been through and hopefully wisdom from coming out the other side of these sorts of things.
You bet. So we did do, you know, the Rising Phoenix Awards this year were actually really good. And, you know, I don't know if it's a good time to say it or not, but it's Mara Evans was actually one of the finalists for the Rising Phoenix Awards in 2014. And so, you know, Mara Evenstar is you're a bright, shining example in this community, and I really appreciate being a part of this with you.
Wow, thanks so much, Cal. I was really honored. I was sad that I couldn't be there in the banquet. I was off in California studying with the great Gene Houston. So It was really a great time for me to be thinking about, you know, both where I've been coming from and where I'm going. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have just about a minute left here until break. Was there any other celebrant work that you've done that you'd like to share?
Well, the celebrant part, there's an institution called the Insight Institute. They're based on, I think it's Oklahoma, and they train people to deliver very personal funeral experiences. And if I could spend just a minute on that, it's not something that I do a lot in my work, but I've written some eulogies that are very powerful. And by that I mean, if your traditional funeral experience in our society can sometimes be kind of like what we talked about earlier. You go through the motions, and you do the things that you're supposed to do because it's the way they've always been done. And I'm a real believer that, you know, all through life, even at the end of our lives, we should experience it in the way that we want to. And by planning some of this stuff with a celebrant in advance, you can actually have a major impact on the way that people experience your own passing when the time comes. And the hope is that it's, you know, decades from now. You know, it's 50 years from now. But, you know, by taking the time to plan it now, you can bring peace of mind for yourself, and you can ensure that the people you care about are, you know, really have a great experience when the time comes.
Wow. And that's a whole other show.
I think you're right.
Because I think that's really important, too. Well, thanks, Cal, for sharing your personal story with us. I think it's,
oh, you're welcome.
You know, as I said, it's just so important to be doing that storytelling with one another. When we return from break, we'll talk more about why it is so important to mark the big life transitions intentionally, why this is becoming especially important in today's society. And we'll also offer some resources that can support you in marking your next big transition or the transition of someone you love. So we'll be right back with The Art of Transformation on Voice America Empowerment Channel.
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
When you think of inspiring women, who comes to mind? Is it a visionary like Oprah Winfrey? Political or legal figures like Hillary Clinton or Sonia Sotomayor? Or how about entrepreneurial business leaders like Meg Whitman? No matter whom you might be thinking of, make sure to add one more to that list. Deanne DeMarco. She's the host of Today's Inspiring Women. Each week, Deanne turns you on to the next rising star in business and leadership and what their successes and challenges have been. Listen every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, on Voice America Empowerment.
Now on Voice America.
The road you travel in life is never a straight line. It's more like running around in circles, which is not a problem when you make Richard Flint a part of your world. When you're standing next to Richard, you begin to see a lot less confusion and a whole lot more clarity. Things just start falling into place.
Every Thursday, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel.
The power to be with Richard Flint.
Join us, and more power to you.
The Dr. Divas Show is on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time for a compelling discussion about the issues that matter most to women, but also for students, teachers, and anybody who's interested in education. Topics include entrepreneurship, relationships, work, and home life. Join Dr. Sony, Dr. Rhonda, and Dr. Pamela every Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific Time for the Dr. Divas Show on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. Your relationships, your career, your peace of mind.
Follow us on Twitter for more great ideas at Voice America Empowerment.
Listening to The Art of Transformation with Mara Evenstar. If you would like more information about our program or just have a question or comment about today's episode, please send an email to rmi.services@gmail.com. That's ARAMMAI.services@gmail.com. Now, let's continue with The Art of Transformation.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm Mara Evenstar, and today Cal Liu and I have been talking about rites of passage as a way of consciously moving through life's transitions and transformations. We think it's really important to discuss why rites of passage are so important, not only for the individual moving through the transition, but for the community and society in general. And so, Cal, in your mind, in your experience, and in your research, and especially in working in intentional legacies, why are rites of passage so important? And what can happen if we don't intentionally mark these transitions?
I think there's a number of ways it shows up if we don't do them. I mean, they're important because they help you to make the transition from one place to another, and from one phase or one state in your life to another. And if you don't take the time to intentionally or consciously mark these transitions, you can find yourself in some pretty confusing places. And I've known a fair number of people who feel like they're aimlessly wandering right through parts of their life. And, you know, they don't know where they're supposed to be, and you know they may have an idea of where they've been, but they don't know where they're supposed to be going. And I think a good rite of passage kind of helps to guide you into the next phase more clearly. And what can happen sometimes if you don't have a clear direction is you can start to feel isolated. You know, you're one group of people that you used to be really close with. You no longer feel close to them, and you start to feel like you're all by yourself. And I think when people in our society get isolated and things start to get unhealthy, we've seen some really bad things happen.
Right.
Yeah, I think we then begin to project that out into the world in different ways. Our isolation and our loneliness and our kind of feeling of unmooring, we then, you know, put that out there as this as a way of being, right? As just how we are. And it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be that way, right? It doesn't have to be that we feel all totally unmoored.
Right. No, I agree completely. And, you know, as a parent myself, you know, I do believe that kids want some guidance. They want some structure. They want to know, you know, where the boundaries are. And so they want some guidance on how to get from where they are to where they're supposed to be. And if as parents we don't do a good job of giving them clear direction, I think sometimes it gets really confusing. And you start to see some real acting out come out of our kids that we wouldn't normally expect.
Mm-hmm. And I think some of the things that don't happen if you don't intentionally mark them is that perhaps the next phase isn't even really moved into. We talk about how, you know, people just don't even grow up.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a marker of when that happened, and so they just don't grow up. They just don't grow into the new role or the new phase that they're supposed to be in.
Absolutely. You know, there's an old Pink Floyd song, right? No one told me when to run. You missed the starting gun. You never really got started in your life.
Right. Yeah. In my psychology classes, I would ask my students, you know, which were mostly from the American culture. There were some foreign students there, but it's just like, okay, so here in America, in a culture, how do you know when you're grown up? What are the markers? And, you know, at first the question even confused them, excuse me, but then you would hear things like, well, you turn 21, or you get your driver's license, or you're old enough to buy cigarettes, or you get a job, or, you take on more responsibility at home, and all these things, but there was no good marker for when someone could say, hey, I'm now an adult, and the culture now also sees me as an adult and treats me as one. Yeah, it's something that's really missing in our culture.
I think so. And the whole concept of growing up, right? It's like I'm not sure there is such a thing as being grown up, just to be honest. I'm not sure that I'm fully grown up yet myself. But, there, you know, there's this process of us growing and evolving over time, and we become an adult. And if we do a really good job of applying the rites of passage concept, right, we learn when we become an adult, so to speak, and then we get some real pointers as to how to become better adults and how we can live and be a healthy, happy adult functioning in our society.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that, you know, in traditional societies as well as in our religious institutions, there were a lot of ways to help us all navigate these life passages. But, you know, it's, as you said before, some of the challenges that we're reaching is that, you know, those institutions perhaps no longer people are no longer associated with them, or they don't hold the power. And maybe even more deeply, these rites of passages that are offered no longer have the meaning.
Right.
People have lost the meaning of what the rituals and rites and what the importance is of those pieces that they are moving through. So it becomes superficial, and people are missing it.
That's so important. That's really important.
Yeah. And, you know, our society is changing. It's this big melting pot, right? And so some of us have some of it. Some of us have that, and some of us don't. And even some of those that do have that, they do have the traditions. They may not understand what the traditions mean.
Mm-hmm.
I know, you know, a lot of young women getting married today don't understand what some of the things are that they are putting in their weddings about,
right.
You know, the meaning of the being given away and all these things. So
yeah. So it's just kind of things that were given to us from a previous time that don't really have any specific meaning anymore, at least not in our consciousness.
Right.
You know, you asked, you know, why rites of passage are important and what happens when we don't mark them. We've explored that a little bit. But there's another angle of it that's really important to me, and it actually hits really close to home. Is when you don't have a rite of passage, you can end up growing up unconsciously. meaning, you know, you end up going through the motions. You end up somewhere without really consciously deciding where you want to be, and it can be a pretty confusing time, like it was for me. And please don't take this wrong. I had a great upbringing, right? My parents did a great job, but rites of passage weren't something that were important in our community, and this is something I think we can do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then when we take a look at what's happening in society overall, we also begin to see what happens when we don't intentionally mark these transitions. And humans, you know, we like to find the meaning in things. We do want to know the meaning in things. And we will self-initiate. We will create our own rites if we're not led through these by others in the community. But can be self-destructive, right? And they can, when you look at things like the binge drinking that happens when people turn 21, mm-hmm. that is a self-initiation, or that is a group initiation into some form of adulthood, right? But it's not necessarily the healthiest of ones. Or you look at hazing in the fraternities and sororities, or you look at even the gangs and the gang initiations. So, you know, young people are needing this. They may not be conscious that they need it, and when there is a lack of it, they will create their own.
Absolutely. Another kind of more less obvious example is, you know, when people withdraw into an online state, so with the internet today and with a lot of the online gaming communities, people can basically withdraw from the outside community into an internal world, and they self-initiate through some of the games they play, and they form these gangs where they effectively cut themselves off from the outside world, and that's also a very dangerous thing. But I guess the impact of some of this is what's really astonishing is if you look at how many people, you know, and young adults today in their 20s and 30s find, you know, there's a budding alcoholism problem. There's a budding, you know, there's a problem with nutrition. There's, you know, the people who eat to kind of comfort themselves. Mm-hmm. So through the binge drinking and the hazing and, you know, the withdrawal and the gang memberships, we end up with a society of young people who take years and years and years to ever take that stuff back off and become real, you know, functional adults.
Right. Yes. Amazing. So let's talk a little bit about do that. So I also have another great quote from Ronald Grimes from his book Deeply Into the Bone. And he says, "The aim of inventing or constructing rites is bold, some might even say arrogant, but without constant reinvention, we court disorientation."
Mm-hmm.
And that really moved me when I read it, because rites of passage, even though are often thought of as traditions or things that people go through, we have to continually reinvent them so that they have meaning in modern society, and that they have meaning for the individuals that are going through the transition. And when we're not doing this, we can spend much more time in that in-between, as you had mentioned when you were talking about, you know, kind of the anatomy of a transition. We can spend a lot of time in that in-between zone, in that disorientation. And so we have about 4 minutes left. Maybe we should talk about the work that we're doing together with Conscious Rites and focusing on the coming of age stuff.
Mm-hmm. Great. So, you know, there's, you know, through many of the conversations we've had, you know, this recognition that our society doesn't do a great job consistently of giving kids, our children, clear direction on how to become, you know, healthy young adults. And we looked at all different cultures and how they handle it. I think it made a lot of sense, you know, through your business, through New Myth Works, and specifically Sophia Unfolds, to team up with my business in Intentional Legacies and some of the things we're doing in kind of the coming of age ceremonies for boys, to team up and deliver some really meaningful rites of passage programs that we can offer to, you know, not only to the boys in our community, to the young girls in our community, but, you know, we take it away from the gender approach and make it more of an energetic approach. So, you know, we look at it from a masculine perspective and a feminine perspective, and even a kind of a non, almost a gender neutral perspective as well. how do we help our children move from children to adolescents to young adults? And Conscious Rights is a brand new program specifically designed to deliver those rites of passage.
Yeah, and we're really excited about putting that together. And certainly visiting our websites, we're going to give you that information in a few moments, will kind of point you toward what's available now as far as resources. And also you can kind of get updates on where we are in developing these programs. One thing I didn't say earlier is that I am, and Cal is located in Southeast Michigan, but certainly we hope to be developing things that can be more widespread so that you don't have to be perhaps in place to be doing that.
Yeah, this is a good starting point, but it'd be great to have the whole country doing this at some point.
Yes, it would. So Cal and I invite you to reflect on where you might be in your life right now and looking at whether or not you're undergoing any major life transitions, where you are in that process, and what ones close to you, are they undergoing such a transition? You know, do you have children that are entering puberty or moving into young adulthood or maybe moving toward marriage? Or do you have loved ones that are critically ill or very elderly that may be moving toward that final transition of their life cycle? So we would like you to visit thelifetransitionzone.com on the web for resources to support your deeper understanding of rites of passage. So there we can point you to some tools and guidance for creating your own rites of passage and organizations that provide services and such guidance. And because there are great organizations out there right now providing these services. That's thelifetransitionzone.com. And you can contact Cal directly at intentionallegacies.com. So this is Mara Evenstar. Thank you for joining me and Cal on The Art of Transformation. You can sign up from Tom or contact me personally. Visit my website at aramai.com. That's aramai.com. So I look forward to practicing the Art of Transformation with you on Wednesdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, here on Voice America Empowerment Channel. Until next time.
Thank you for joining us for The Art of Transformation. Please tune in for another edition with Mara Evenstar next Wednesday at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.